text for the sermon this morning is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, souls of believers at their death are immediately made perfect in holiness and do pass into glory and are in the presence of Christ. They are received into a glorious fellowship with Him in His blessedness. As a wife is received to a joint possession of her husband's estate, so the church of the Savior, the spouse of the Lord Jesus, shall partake with Him in His glory when the marriage comes, and we who believe are received to dwell with Him in heaven. When the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead and took possession of eternal life, He did not do it as a private person for Himself, but He did it as the public head of all His redeemed people. He took possession of eternal life for them, as well as for Himself. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, God has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When our Savior Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and was exalted to great glory, this also was as a public person. He took possession of heaven not only for Himself, but also for His people. He is the forerunner and the head of His people, that we also might ascend and sit together with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We read a few moments ago in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, the promise of our Savior Jesus Christ. I will write on Him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, and I will write on Him my new name. In other words, the Lord Jesus makes us partakers of His own glory and His own exaltation in heaven. His new name is that new honor and glory that the Father invested Him with when He seated Him at His own right hand. Christ gives us a new title. Christ and His people shall be glorified together, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 17. The saints in heaven have a communion or a joint participation with the Lord Jesus Christ in His glory and in His blessedness in heaven, in at least three ways. And the first is this: they partake with the Savior in the inexpressible delights that He has in heaven in the enjoyment of His Father. When Christ ascended into heaven, He was received to a glorious and special joy and blessedness in the enjoyment of His Father, who had hidden His face from His Son as Jesus hung on the cross and suffered God's wrath and curse due to us for sin. Christ received an enjoyment of His Father that was fitting for Him as the eternal Son of God. That was the proper reward for the great and difficult service that He had performed here on earth in our place as His people. God showed His Son the path of life and brought Him into His own presence where there is fullness of joy, and made Him sit at His right hand where there are pleasures forevermore. as our Savior said in Psalm 16, verse 11. Then the Father made him most blessed forever. He made him exceedingly glad with his presence. Read in Psalm 21, verse 6. God's people, because they are united to Christ by true faith, because they are members of the Lord Jesus Christ, partake of His relationship as a son to His Father. And so also are heirs with Him of His happiness, of His blessedness in the enjoyment of His Father. The Apostle Paul speaks of this in his letter to the Galatians. When he writes in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." The spouse of Christ, by virtue of her marriage to the only begotten Son of God, is adopted as the children of God. Psalm 45, verse 13 says that we become the King's daughter. And so we partake with our divine husband in His enjoyment of His Father and our Father, His God and our God. Christ's words to Mary in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 17, imply this great promise. Jesus said to Mary, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." And thus Christ's faithful servants enter into the joy of their Lord when they die. Jesus says in Matthew 25, verses 21 and 23, "And Christ's joy remains in them," Jesus says in John 15, verse 11. From eternity, Christ is, as it were, in the bosom of the Father, as the object of His infinite pleasure. In Him is the Father's eternal happiness. Before the world was, He was with the Father in the enjoyment of His infinite love. And He had infinite delight and blessedness in that enjoyment, as He declares in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 30, concerning Himself. "Then I was beside Him as a master craftsman, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him." When the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to the Father after His death and resurrection, He went to Him and enjoyed the same glory, the same blessedness in the enjoyment of His love, just as He had prayed the evening before His death in John 17, verse 5. "Now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was." In that same prayer, our Lord Jesus Christ manifests His will that His true disciples should be with Him in the enjoyment of that love and glory when He prays in John 17, verse 13, "that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." And in verse 22, our Savior prays, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them." This glory of Christ, which believers are to enjoy with Him, is the glory which He has in the enjoyment of His Father's infinite love to Him. And we see this in the last words of our Savior's prayer in John 17, verse 26. That the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. The love which the Father has to His Son is great indeed. God Himself, as it were, flows out wholly and entirely in a stream of love to Christ, and the joy and the pleasure of Christ is proportionally great. This is the stream of Christ's delights. This is the river of His infinite pleasure, which He will make His people to drink of with Him. As He says in Psalm 36, verses 8 and 9, they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. God's people shall have pleasure in partaking with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His pleasure, and shall see light in His light. They shall partake with Christ of that same river of pleasure, and shall drink of that same water of life, and of the same new wine in the Father's kingdom. As Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 29. That new wine is especially that joy, that happiness, which Christ and His people shall partake of together in glory, which Christ has purchased by His own blood. It is the reward of His obedience even unto death. When Christ ascended into heaven, He received everlasting pleasures at His Father's right hand, and in the enjoyment of His Father's love as the reward of His own death and His own obedience unto death. And that same righteousness is reckoned to both the head, Christ, and the members, His church. And therefore both believers as well as Christ shall have fellowship in the same reward, each according to their own distinct capacity. The fact that the saints in heaven have such a communion with Christ in His joy and partake with Him in His own enjoyment of the Father shows the transcendent excellence of their happiness, and that they are admitted to vastly higher privileges in glory than even the angels of God. Second, the saints in heaven are received to a fellowship or a participation with Christ in the glory of that dominion which the Father has given to Him in His exaltation. When the saints ascend to heaven as Christ ascended, and are made to sit together with Him in heavenly places, and are partakers of the glory of His exaltation, they are exalted to reign with Him. Christ makes us kings and priests, and we reign with Him and in Him over the same kingdom. As the Father has appointed Him a kingdom, so the Father has appointed us a kingdom. The Father has appointed His own Son to reign over His own kingdom, and the Son appoints His saints, His people, to reign in His kingdom. The Father has given to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a place to sit with Him on His throne. And Christ gives to His people a place to sit with Him on His throne, as the Lord promises in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Christ, as God's Son, is the heir of His kingdom, and the saints are joint heirs with Jesus, which implies that they are heirs of the same inheritance, to possess the same kingdom in and with Him according to their capacity. And in His kingdom, Christ reigns over heaven and earth. And so He says to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with Me on My throne, as I also overcame and sat down with My Father on His throne. Christ is appointed the heir of all things. And so all things belong to the saints, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:21-23. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. In His kingdom, Christ reigns over heaven and earth, and we reign with Him. All the saints, because they are Christ's, because they are united to Him, are given a part of His dominion. The angels are given to Christ as part of His dominion. They are given to Christ to wait upon Him as ministering spirits. And so they are all, even the highest and most dignified of them, ministering spirits to minister to God's people who are the heirs of salvation. They are Christ's angels, and they are also their angels, their servants. And such is the union that believers have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Such is their interest in Him, that what He possesses, they possess in a much more perfect and blessed manner than if the Lord had given all these things to us separately, apart from Christ, to use according to our own will and discretion. The Lord Jesus disposes of all things in every respect to be most for our blessedness. And He has infinitely better discretion than we do. There is the most perfect union of our hearts with His heart. And so the most perfect union of our wills with His will. And we are most perfectly each other's. As the glorified spouse of this great King reigns with and in Him, in His dominion over the universe, so more especially the saints partake with the Lord Jesus Christ in the joy and the glory of His reign in the kingdom of His grace here on earth, which is the kingdom that our Savior possesses as the head of His church. The saints are most especially interested in that kingdom. God the Father exalted His own Son to His throne in heaven, especially to reign in this kingdom. He has set His King upon His holy hill of Zion, especially that He might reign over the church in His kingdom of grace, and that He might best be able to carry on the eternal designs of His love among sinners here on the face of the earth. And therefore the saints of God in heaven partake with the Lord Jesus Christ in the joy and the glory of the advancement and the building and the prosperity of Christ's kingdom of grace on earth, and in the success of the gospel here, which is the particular glory of Christ's reign. The Good Shepherd rejoices when he finds even one sheep that was lost. And his friends and neighbors in heaven rejoice with him that that which is lost has been found. That part of the family of God which is in heaven is not unacquainted with the affairs of that part of the same family that is here on earth. Those who are with the King of Kings, those who are next to Him in glory, the royal family who dwell in His heavenly palace, are not kept in ignorance of the affairs of His kingdom here on earth. The saints in heaven are with the angels. the king's ministers by which he manages the affairs of his kingdom here on earth. And the angels are continually ascending and descending from heaven to the earth, as Jacob saw in his vision when he went from Canaan north to the land of Haran. The angels are employed every day in ministering to the people of God and to the church of Jesus Christ here below. In addition, there is the continual ascending of the souls of believers at their death from all the parts of the church militant. And therefore, the saints in heaven enjoy 1,000 times greater advantage than we here on earth in having a fuller view of the state of Christ's church on earth, and a speedy, direct, and sure knowledge with all its affairs in every part. They are constantly in the presence of Christ and enjoy the most perfect communion with Him, the King, who manages all the affairs of His church and has an absolutely perfect knowledge of them. Christ is the head of the whole glorified assembly of believers. They are mystically His glorified body according to their capacity. And what the head sees, it sees for the information of the whole body. And what the head enjoys is for the joy of the whole body. In leaving this world and ascending to heaven, the saints do not lose sight of the things pertaining to the kingdom of Christ here on earth. No, on the contrary, they leave the state of obscurity, darkness, and ascend above the mists and the clouds into the clearest light. They are, as it were, at the top of a peak, in the center of light, where everything appears in clear view. They have just as much greater advantage in viewing the state of Christ's kingdom and the works of the new creation here on earth than while they were in this world, as a man who climbs to the top of a mountain has a far greater advantage to view the whole face of the earth below him than he had when he was at the bottom of a valley or in the midst of a forest, surrounded on every side by those things that obstructed his view. The saints in glory do not view Christ's kingdom as indifferent or unconcerned spectators, any more than Christ himself is an unconcerned spectator. No, the happiness of the saints in heaven consists very much in beholding the glory of God that appears in his work of salvation, saving lost sinners from death and from everlasting destruction. For it is by this chiefly that God manifests his glory, the glory of his wisdom and holiness and grace and all his other perfections to both saints and angels. We see this in many passages of Holy Scripture. Therefore, undoubtedly, the happiness of believers in heaven consists very much in beholding the progress of Christ's work of redemption in its application and success, and the steps by which God in his infinite power and wisdom is bringing it to its consummation. The saints in heaven have unspeakably greater advantage to enjoy the pleasure of beholding the progress of this work on earth than we who are here still on earth. For they have a greater advantage in seeing and understanding the marvelous steps that Christ, the very wisdom of God, is taking in all the things that He does and the glorious purposes that He has. And the opposition that Satan, the great enemy of Christ and His people, constantly makes to that progress and to that kingdom. And how Christ constantly baffles and overthrows Satan and all his wicked works. The saints in heaven with Christ can better see the connection of one event with another, and the beautiful order of all the things that come to pass in the church in different ages that so often to us appear like confusion. They do not just view these things and rejoice in them as a glorious and beautiful sight, but as people who are interested in them, just as Jesus Christ Himself is interested in them, as possessing these things in Christ and as reigning with the Savior in this kingdom. The success of the Lord Jesus in His work of redemption, of saving sinners, in bringing souls home to Himself, in applying His saving benefits by the Holy Spirit, in advancing the kingdom of His grace in this world, is the reward that is especially promised to Him by His Father in the covenant of redemption. For the hard and difficult service that Jesus performed while here on earth, in human flesh, in the form of a servant. This is clearly set forth for us in Isaiah 53, in the closing verses of 10, 11, and 12. The saints shall be rewarded with Christ. They shall partake with the Savior in the joy of His reward. For Christ's obedience, that the Father credits to the saints, is theirs because they are members of Christ. This was especially the joy that was set before the Lord Jesus when He was here on earth. And for the sake of that joy, He endured the cross, despising the shame. As the writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 12, verse 2, and His joy is the joy of all heaven. The saints who are with Jesus in heaven are under, or have by far the greatest advantage to partake with Him in this joy, for they have a perfect communion with their Savior. It is through Jesus, and it is in fellowship with Jesus, that they enjoy and possess their whole inheritance, all their heavenly happiness. Just as your whole body enjoys the pleasure of beautiful things that you hear with your ear, or beautiful smells that you smell with your nose. The saints, while here on earth, pray and labor unceasingly for the same thing that Christ labored for, namely the advancement of the kingdom of God among men, the promoting of the prosperity of the church, the flourishing of Christian faith throughout the nations of the world. And most of God's people have suffered for that end, just as Christ suffered for that end. And now they have been made partakers with the Lord Jesus Christ, their head, in His sufferings. And they have filled up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, as Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. And therefore they shall partake with Him of the glory and of the joy which He has obtained. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 17, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together with the Lord Jesus. When Christ's sufferings were ended, and He ascended from earth into heaven, He was far from being done with His kingdom in this world. His work was only just begun. Christ ascended for that very purpose, that He might more fully possess and enjoy His kingdom, that He might reign in it, that He might have the best advantages for it, just as a king ascends a throne in order to reign over his people and receive the honor and glory of his dominion. In a similar way, the saints are no more done with Christ's kingdom here on earth when they die and ascend into heaven. We read in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, that our Savior Jesus Christ came or ascended with the clouds of heaven. And He came to the Ancient of Days, and He was brought near before Him to the very end or purpose that He might receive dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve Him. And the Lord says in Daniel chapter 7, verse 27, "The kingdom and dominion and greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High God." It is because they shall reign in and with the Savior Jesus Christ, the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions of the world shall serve and obey Him. This verse is true, not only of the saints here on earth, but also of the saints in heaven. And therefore the saints in heaven sing in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, "And we shall reign on the earth. The souls of those who suffered with Christ shall reign with Christ the King. The meek, those who meekly and patiently suffered with the Lord Jesus, and for Jesus' sake shall inherit the earth," Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, verse 5. "They shall inherit it and reign on earth with Christ." Christ is the heir of the world, and when the appointed time of His kingdom comes, His inheritance shall be given to Him, and then the meek who are joint heirs with Him shall inherit the earth. Our Savior in Psalm 37, or quote Psalm 37, verse 11, "The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Psalm 72, verse 7 tells us that in the days of the reign of Christ, there shall be an abundance of peace as long as the moon endures. And the Lord tells us in the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 6, "I will reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth." Saints in heaven will be as much with Christ in reigning over the nations and the glory of His dominion as they will be with Him in the honor of judging the world at the last day. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, Christ promises the disciples that when the Son of Man sits on the throne of His glory, they shall sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The saints in heaven, reigning on earth in that great day, is described in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Jesus continues in Matthew 19, verse 29, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit everlasting life." Jesus is saying that in the time when the saints shall inherit the earth and reign on earth, the earth with all its blessings and all its good things shall be given in great abundance to the church to be possessed by the saints, and they shall receive this in this present world and in the time to come, everlasting life. The saints in heaven shall partake with the Lord Jesus Christ in the triumph and in the glory of those victories that He shall obtain over the kings and over the nations of the world that are sometimes spoken of in Scripture as Christ ruling the nations with a rod of iron and dashing them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Jesus speaks of this in Revelation chapter 2, verses 26 and 27. When He promises, "And He who overcomes and keeps My works until the end, to Him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from My Father." We read in Psalm 149, verses 5 and 6, "Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a sharp two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This honor have all His saints." And therefore, when Christ appears riding forth to His victory in Revelation chapter 19, the hosts of heaven appear going forth with Him in robes of triumph in verse 14. And in Revelation chapter 18, verse 20, the inhabitants of heaven and the holy apostles and prophets are called upon to rejoice in the great victory of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 18. And in Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 through 8, the whole multitude of the inhabitants of heaven exult and praise God with exceeding joy because of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And throughout the book of Revelation, the hosts of heaven appear as much concerned and as deeply interested in the events in the kingdom of Christ here on earth below as all the saints who are still on earth. And so Abraham enjoys these things when they come to pass that God promised him of old and that he saw beforehand by faith and rejoiced in. He will enjoy the fulfillment of the promise of God to him that all the families of the earth are blessed in his seed. All the patriarchs who died in faith in the promises of those glorious things that should be accomplished in this world, who had not received those promises but saw them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them, do actually enjoy them when Christ fulfills them as he subdues the peoples on earth under him. David actually saw and enjoyed the fulfillment of that promise in its due time, which was made to him many hundred years before and was all his salvation and all his desire. The saints of old that died in faith, not having received the promises, are made perfect and have their faith crowned by the better things accomplished in the victories of Christ through the gospel. And third, the departed souls of God's people have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ in his blessed and eternal employment of glorifying his Father. The happiness of heaven is not only in contemplation, a mere passive enjoyment, but consists very much in action, and particularly in actively serving and glorifying God. This is expressly mentioned as a great part of the blessedness of the saints in their most perfect state in Revelation chapter 22, verse 3. There we read, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him." The angels are as a flame of fire in their ardor and activity in the service of God. The four animals in Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, continually give praise and glory to God. They do not rest day or night. The souls of departed saints become as the angels of God in heaven in this respect. Jesus Christ is the head of this whole glorious assembly as they praise and glorify the Father in their blessed state. When Christ, the night before He was crucified, prayed for His exaltation to glory, it was in order that He might glorify the Father. John 17, verse 1 says, "Jesus spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You." And this our Savior does now in heaven, not only in fulfilling His Father's will in what He does as the King and Head of the Church and as the ruler of the universe, but also in leading the heavenly assembly in praising God and glorifying Him. When our Savior instituted the supper and ate and drank with His disciples at His table, He gave them a representation and a pledge of their future feasting with Him and drinking the wine new with Him in His Father's heavenly kingdom. And at that time He led them in praises to God in the hymn that they sang before they went out to the Mount of Olives. And so our exalted Savior leads His glorified disciples in praising and glorifying God in heaven. David was the sweet psalmist of Israel, and he led the great congregation of God's people in their songs of praise to God. And in this, as in many other things, David was a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is often spoken of in Scripture by the name David. Many of the psalms that David wrote were songs of praise. That is, songs that he, by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of prophecy, spoke in the name of Christ as the King and Head of the Church and as the one who leads all of God's people in praise. Christ, exalted in heaven, leads the glorious assembly of believers and of angels in their praises to God, as Moses led the congregation of Israel at the Red Sea, which is implied in Revelation 15, verses 2 and 3, and they sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. And in Revelation chapter 19, verse 5, John says, "Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you His servants, and those who fear Him, both small and great." Who can it be that utters this voice out of the throne but the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne, calling on the glorious assembly of saints to praise His Father and their Father, His God and their God? And the consequence of this voice is given in Revelation 19, verse 6, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings." saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us all earnestly seek after that great privilege that when we are absent from the body, we may be present with the Lord. We cannot always continue in this earthly life, in this weak and frail body. It will soon decay and fail. It's constantly liable to be overthrown by so many different things. Soon our souls must leave these bodies and go into the eternal world. Oh, how infinitely great the privilege and the happiness of those who, when they die, shall go to be with Christ in His glory. The privilege of the 12 disciples was great in walking with the Lord Jesus here on earth as His family during the state of His humiliation. The privilege of those three disciples, Peter, James, and John, was great when they were with the Lord Jesus on the mountain of His transfiguration, where God exhibited to them a little foretaste of Christ's future glory in heaven, and their future glory with Christ, which they could behold in this present frail, feeble, and sinful condition while still here on earth. They were greatly delighted. They rejoiced in what they saw, and they wanted to make tabernacles there on that mountain to dwell with Jesus rather than returning down the mountain to normal life here on earth. The privilege of Moses, the servant of God, was great when he was with Christ on Mount Sinai. And he besought the Lord to show him His glory. And he saw his back parts as the Lord passed by. And as the Lord proclaimed His name, long-suffering, gracious, loving, kind. The privilege of being with Christ in heaven is infinitely greater. There, our crucified Savior sits at the right hand of God the Father in the glory of the King and God of angels and of the whole universe, shining forth as the great light, the bright sun of that world of glory. And there, in His presence, we will dwell in the full, constant, and everlasting view of His beauty and His brightness. There, most freely and intimately to converse with Him and fully to enjoy His love as His friends and spouse. There, we will have fellowship with Him in the infinite pleasure and joy that He has in the enjoyment of His Father. There we will sit with Him on His throne and reign with Him in the possession of all things and partake with Him in the joy and glory of His victory over all His enemies and the advancement of His kingdom here in the world. And there we will join with Him in joyful songs of praise to His Father and our Father, to His God and our God, forever and ever. Is not such a privilege worth seeking after? Yes, it is the greatest treasure of all. But not everyone who dies will receive this great blessing and privilege. Not everyone who dies goes to be with the Lord in heaven. The only way you can have that glorious and wonderful and amazing privilege and treasure and enjoyment and blessing that will last forever and ever is to repent of your sins and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is your righteousness, who has paid the full price that your sin deserves. Come to Jesus today and put your trust in Him. Trust in Him with all your heart and confess Him as your Savior and as your King with your mouth. And you shall be saved forever. And when you die, you shall enjoy this great privilege, this eternal blessing of being absent from the body at death, but present with the Lord. Amen. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that when we die, we are not as the animals who return to the earth in corruption and are no more. But rather, our souls are immediately made perfect in holiness and do pass into the highest heavens, there to enjoy the beauty and the glory and the blessing of being with Christ and of having communion with Him and of possessing all things and of seeing you fulfill and carry out all of your eternal purposes as you gather a great and glorious people to praise and to worship you forever and ever, world without end. Father, we pray that we may not just contemplate these things with our minds, but that you, by your Holy Spirit, will touch our hearts and impress them upon our souls, that we may not only see that glorious kingdom from afar, but that we may, by true and living faith in the glorified Savior Jesus Christ, pass from death into life and be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of your love. And so, Father, may we, even in this life, begin to partake of those blessings and those joys and those privileges that are ours as your people and as the bride of the Savior. And may we, with eager and expectant hearts, look forward to that day when you take us home, and we shall enjoy even more of those blessings and those privileges and that joy and that fellowship with you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you. We have the privilege of proclaiming the great gospel of Christ here on earth. Make us faithful and diligent in that great task. And may we be found in the Lord Jesus. May we be those who believe to the saving of our souls. May we be those who fight the good fight of faith with courage and with perseverance, that we may overcome and sit with Christ on His throne and possess that kingdom that shall have no end. Lord, grant it, we pray. Pour out your grace and your Holy Spirit, that all of your people may be saved and brought into that rich and satisfying fellowship with you that shall have no end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.